Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Good evening and welcome to a very special Radio Newark Sport. We're live from the Cedric Ford Pavilion for the last ever Newark Youth League presentation evening. As many of you know, the Youth League in its current format is finishing after tonight, and they're going to amalgamate with the Young Elizabethan League to form a Nottinghamshire Super League. We're here tonight and we're going to take you through for the next 2 hours, yes, 2 hours tonight, talking about the new Newark Youth League. And we've got some stars for you to talk to as well. Phil Joslin's here. Everybody in Newark knows Phil Joslin. Erica Todd's here. Elaine Oram, the CEO of the Notts FA. To put it another way, the head honcho from the Notts FA. And we've got lots to talk to with Ellen. Alongside of me, as ever, Mr. Tony Smith. Tony, good evening.
Good evening. I've got some rather bad news, though. I've just discovered they've got a bar.
Oh, won't be seeing you then, will we? As you can see, we are live, because that's Glenn Cobb you can hear in the background. So Glenn's now talking and the presentation's about to begin. Tony, new Youth League, what's it mean to you?
It's been a wonderful league over the many years it's been in existence. I mean, the new Newark Youth League came into existence while I was at the Advertiser, and it's been a fantastic opportunity for the young people of the town to play competitive football.
And of course, it's brought many of them on, hasn't it? And some of them are even now gone on to play professional football.
Indeed, like
Patrick Bamford. He's the name that's currently on everybody's lips. Also joining us tonight is a name that you'll all know if you've been involved in local sport, is of course Mr. Andrew Hardy. Andrew, just talk into it, mate. That's all you need to do.
Good evening, Mick.
Good evening, Andrew. Andrew, you're going to be with us for the whole of the 2 hours, chatting away about what is actually one of your passions, isn't it? The new Newark Youth League.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I mean, this is a culmination night for the Youth League in many respects, because this is the end of an era, and we're looking forward to it being the start of a new era as well with the merger with the YL.
Let me take you both back what is now a couple of years, when both Ted and Glenn said that they were calling it a day and asked for people to come forward and take over the mantle of running the Youth League. And at one stage, it looked fairly desperate. Nothing was going to happen and was going to lose youth football in Newark. Tony, that would have been a complete disaster.
It would indeed, because I think it would have killed senior football in the town as well. Because there's so many other things today for young people to get involved with, that if you don't get them on the football pitch, you're going to lose that part of the opportunity for Newark youngsters.
Andrew, behind the scenes then, I assume over the last 2 years, there's been highs and there's been lows, but at the end of the day, I think what the agreement that has been reached with the YEL will benefit our young footballers, because it's going to give them a different scope, different teams to play, different grounds to play on, and it saved the new Newark Youth League. First of all, though, I just want to start on a bit of a downer, if you like. A little bit sad that we haven't found anybody to take over the running of our own youth league.
Yeah, I mean, over the last couple of years, like you say, mate, we've tried as a management committee to recruit new people. I mean, that's not something that's happened in the last 2 years alone. We've had new faces on the committee over the last, well throughout its life, the last 18 years or so. But we've reached a bit of a watershed with the likes of Ted and Glenn and Alan really getting to a point where they've done their shift and they wanted to pass it over and leave it in safe hands. And despite our best efforts and best endeavours to get some of the clubs to put forward volunteers, we didn't have a huge amount of success. And I sort of understand that. The clubs, the people involved in the clubs, are very busy running their teams, and that's really important. You know, without some new people coming forward, we were faced with some limited options moving forward.
So how did the YEL option come about, or what was the lead up to that?
Well, we asked the members what they wanted to do. There were various options, from the nuclear option of just disbanding the youth league, which is nothing, you know, that was one of the options that was really not an option, but it was on the table, through to having you know, new volunteers coming forward and passing the baton on for it to be business as usual. But in many respects, I think the option around YEL is one that will give the youth league new vigour, new vitality, new options, scope to join a much bigger youth football league that is incredibly well organised, well run. The YEL have given us options to look at regional leagues, so the NNYL could effectively operate as business as usual under the YEL umbrella. But it gives us the best of both, in my opinion.
Tony's already stressed the importance of youth football in this town, and it is very important. The voice you can hear in the background now is, even though the children are the stars, really tonight, probably the man on the mic at the moment is a star, isn't he? And that's, of course, Ted Harris. And it's Ted, you would say Ted has turned 80, and he's hanging up his biro, so to speak. But they don't make the Ted Harrises anymore, do they, in football?
No, that's true. They don't. They are few and far between. We've been exceptionally lucky that we've had Ted, or Mr. Football, as we like to refer to him, for the duration of the Youth League. I remember back in 1998, where there was a notice placed in the local advertiser asking people with an interest in football to come to a public meeting in the town hall. Ted was one of those people in the audience, and the rest, as they say, is history.
It's been great fun. Andrew, what I know you sort of keep a fatherly eye on what's going off. Are you now taking a complete backseat in this? I know the primary schools football, you've got a keen interest in that as well, though, because we're not going to lose you to youth football.
No, I'm still involved in sports development and infrastructure improvement. Work closely with the Schools Football Association and the wider sports association. It's really important they've got some continuity, they've got a person to talk to. And as far as the league's concerned, although we're walking away from football, I've offered my support to Les Howie and the team at YEL to say that I will support the transition, if nothing else, and get everything onto an even keel.
I'm just going to take it away from football. While the presentation gets underway, I'm going to take it away from football. When we first started up at Radio Newark and started a sports show, I didn't know who to get to help me. Well, I did, but I didn't think he would do it, because he'd not fallen out of love with sport, but when you've worked in it for your whole life, you've been there, you've done it, you've got the T-shirt, I think it's really exciting anymore. But I talked Tony into coming back as a hobby, so to speak, and he come back to see how it went. Now, 18 months down the line, with the input of youth sport in Newark, Tony is completely revigorated again, and he's buzzing. And Newark sport youngsters is fantastic. Wherever you look, from Ed Howard to fencing to Amelia Crispin to Ben and Anna Smith, and I could go on all night on this, the rugby girls, to mention them, which of course
usually does with them.
Yes, I'm not have to have a mention. This though is accumulation of work, behind the scenes work, that the local sports development team, or whatever they want to be called now. The background work that people never hear of, Andrew, you know it goes off, and you're probably better qualified than anybody to tell us about the hard work that they do, which is leading to the production of Olivia Mathias on the world stage.
Yeah, I mean, Newark's got a richness of talent in terms of sporting credentials. We've got some great clubs. Those clubs are supported fantastically well by enthusiastic sports people and volunteers that keep everything moving forward. You know, without the volunteers, without the infrastructure around the clubs, there aren't opportunities for young people. Same principle with the schools. We've got a very, very active and thriving schools sports programme. A lot of districts and authorities would look on what we've got with envious eyes, because it doesn't happen as well as it happens in Newark everywhere. So yeah, and what goes around comes around. We put a bit of effort in to work with partners, and that is repaid handsomely by the work that they do on our behalf as well.
And I think it's no exaggeration what I said, Tony, was it? It has sort of rekindled your love of sport.
Yeah, I never really fell out of love with sport, but the my time at the Advertiser came to an end with basically there's a lot of pressure to get the pages together, and when it becomes a chore rather than a pleasure, then it becomes a problem. But now it's just sheer pleasure, and as I've said to you before, the sports show on Radio Newark is such that you always know when it's gone well, because you go home and you're buzzing. And you know when it's gone badly, because you go home and you think, oh dear, that didn't go at all well. And it's been a buzz for 18 months, every single night.
We're going to talk about youngsters all night, but I'm just going to go to the other end of the scale and go back to last night's sports show when we had Donny Hagin. That'd be sort of before your time, Andrew. But Donny Hage was my hero when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, playing for the wonderful Simo's team. And it's caused a bit of a stir, his chat. And yes, it will be podcast. We'll get it done sometime over the weekend. It will be podcast. And if you actually go onto our Facebook and website now, there is a picture of Donny. And while I call him the George Best, you will see why he's the George Best. He's got slightly more hair then than he had now. And if you are listening, Dave Smith, yes, Simo's did beat Forsby Colliery 5-3 in the final, despite that your Forsby Colliery was 3-0 up at half time.
I don't think Dave Smith will ever listen to the Radio Newark Sports Show again.
I think we probably lost a listener after last night. But, you know, they're the good days and they're the bad days. And what I want to ask both of you two, because it's going to be a night of memories tonight, because whichever way you look at it, the new Newark Youth League, in that wording, has finished after tonight. It carries on in different wording. Andrew, your biggest sporting, local sporting memory. What's the? And Andrew Hardy finally retires. What are you going to turn around and say? That was when I was most excited at sport. That was my day.
I guess out of all the sports I've had the privilege to be involved with, I guess football's closest to my heart, from a playing as a junior, playing in the Newark Youth League, as it was called back in the day. And I suppose one of the biggest plus points for my career, I suppose, in sport and working with sports clubs is the resurrection of this of the Newark Youth League. And 18 years on, I see it as still the most successful sports development programme that's ever been developed within this district, with thousands and thousands of children having the benefit of playing the game through the hard work of people like Ted and Glenn. So that's the biggest success and the biggest buzz factor for me, I think.
It's right, isn't it, Tony? It's absolutely spot on.
It's totally right. I was at the Palace Theatre when Ted got his sports award, and Ted was asking me before the event, is it worth going along to these dudes? And I knew the winners because I was on the panel. I said, yeah, I think you should go, Ted. I think you should show your face. You'll probably find that you really enjoy it. And when he actually got the award, it was a totally emotional occasion. I felt as chuffed as Ted did himself.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. Glenn's on stage at the moment talking about Tony said last night I call people superstars and legends, and in my little world of local sport they are superstars and legends. Teddy's in the legend category, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He's the, you know, if you've got two categories, superstar, legend, Teddy's firmly in the legend category as regards Newark sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ted's interest in sporting credentials extend well beyond the youth league, from managing Newark Harriers at the time. I think I played for Ted back a few years ago, but it cut Ted in half, and his sport through and through, and if you drill down, it's football through and through. He's an absolute legend.
It was interesting going again back to last night with Donny Hage. Donny, when you left school, what youth team did you play for? Oh, I played under Tommy Elsdan. I mean, Tommy's no longer with us now, but Tommy Elsdan is the reason we have a Sunday league. And Donny played under Tommy Elsdan. So there's another absolutely fantastic name.
I think that last night's show was probably the most enjoyable in terms of Not so much.
I think we're going to take a round of applause, Tony, for Ted. So,
okay.
I think we'll let you listen to.
That's worth listening
I think
to.
We'll let you listen to the round of applause for Ted.
I think Ted Harris might not be top of the legends. There could be a lot of arguments for and against, but it's certainly in the top one.
Exactly. And we're going to try and get Ted to talk to us. I'm going to leave. That's going to be Andrew Hardy's job tonight. We're going to get Ted to talk. Ted's a quiet man, and he doesn't do limelight. He's not like me and you, Tony. So you won't see Ted on the end of a mic very often, but before the end of the night, we're going to try and get Ted on the mic. And he's now doing the league honors. Andrew, you can't, of course, you don't have champions anymore in the younger age groups. That's all changed.
Yeah, the FA have changed the direction in terms of competitive play, and now classify some of the younger age groups as non-competitive. But it's non-competitive in the sense that there are no trophies awarded, because the emphasis is on playing the game and enjoying it. But we all know that every game's competitive as the next one. I think what it has done has made a difference to our presentations, because a few years ago, when we were awarding trophies for younger age groups, the Cedric Ford Pavilion wasn't really big enough to host the competition presentation evening, because there's too many children here. But it's progress. You know, we take a steer from the FA. We are minded to listen to what our NGB lead body is telling us is the right thing for the game, and we'll work with that.
Exactly. We're just going to go for a quick break while I go and try and grab the Warriors to come over and have a chat with us. Welcome back to the Cedric Ford Pavilion for this very special Newark Sports special at the last ever presentation evening of the new Newark Lutheran. And we've got some winners with us, because tonight's all about the boys, of course, and it's the Warriors under 12s. There's no strangers to us, of course. They've been into the studio. One or two of them came in and talked to us a couple of weeks ago. But now they've got the medals, they've got the trophies, and where's Lucas gone? He's standing next to me. Lucas, you're the captain, you're the champions. What's it feel like to go up on that stage and collect the trophy?
It's amazing. I loved it. It was a good year with these lads.
And of course, anybody know what your record was? Did you lose any? Was you undefeated?
Wait, we lost one, drew two, and won 19.
That's not a bad record. You win as a team, you lose as a team, don't you, Captain?
Yeah.
Who beat you? Barrowby beat you. But at the end of the day, you won the championship. Of course, you're my Manchester United supporter, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, and I still have you back on the radio. So next season, are we in the YEL? Are you going again for another trophy?
Yeah.
Are you going to win it next season? Different teams to play. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
What position do you play?
Left wing.
Left wing. You see, left wing, Tony. What I told you, what's the best position on the field?
Left wing.
There you go, you see. So he's the captain, he's the star. Just a quick run around. Let's have some names out of you also. Put the mic in front of you. Tell me who you are.
Keaton Picker.
Lucas Rudden.
Dan Sterling.
Stelios Petrinos.
Randy Brooks-Price.
Rui Thacker.
Lewis Crossland.
Zach Forbes.
Joseph Kingsman.
Finley Mullin.
Is that everybody? There's your champions. The under 12 champions, the Warriors. Well done, lads. Thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck to you next season. There you are. And that's, Tony, what it's all about, isn't it? It's the kids.
Magic, yeah. I mean, hopefully this will be an occasion they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
It's been interviewed on Radio New. Of course it's an occasion for the rest of their lives. Oh, you mean the presentation? Oh, no, don't worry about that. Yeah. What do you do with all your football trophies? Andrew, what do you do with all your football trophies?
I still got some in a shoebox, I think. I've got two on display, which were the.
What did you do with both of them?
Well, they were Band-Aid awards.
You see, you remember the night. You remember the night you was on Radio Newark, but your trophies are in a shoebox.
Yeah, that's right.
I was interviewed by Tony Smith on Radio Newark. You can have car stickers like that, you know.
Okay. Winning trophies didn't scar you, but this did.
Andrew, you was telling us before we went for the break the fact that the rules have changed a little bit, it is still a competitive sport, but there are no tables, and I can understand that, because it's great if you're at the top of that table and you've got the bragging rights, but do you want to go to school on Monday morning if you're at the bottom of that table? So there are no tables. That's a leaf out of the rugby book, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, for me, the most important thing is that children get the opportunity to play football and enjoy it. And you're right, Mick. Getting beat 18 or 20-0 every week doesn't encourage people to want to get up and go and play football. So having non-competitive football may be the solution to improving the game and improving the skill base that will allow the national game to progress. The important thing for me is that we don't lose people to junior football, and they can try it. If they enjoy it, they can stay with it. And I think this merger with the YEL, with regional leagues and having the opportunity for some of our stronger teams to play stronger opposition, is a good thing. And it'll rebalance football, rather than having the three teams at the top who beat everybody else 10-15-0 and the rest of the teams that have a mini competition amongst themselves at the bottom end of the league.
And I think when we get time a little bit later on, Andrew, we're going to get a little bit technical, if you like. One of my biggest criticisms for a long, long time in youth football was it seemed to be win at all costs. And if it means booting the ball into the next field to make some time, then that's what was told to do. We've seemed to have gone away from that. The way they do the corners, the goal kicks, they're now wanting people to play football rather than, it doesn't matter how you win, as long as you win.
Yeah. I think that's fair comment, Mick. I think how that message is translated into the game is through coach education and training the coaches and the managers. You think back in the youth league days, in the sort of late 70s, early 80s, managers didn't have any coaching qualifications. There was no support network to sort of emphasise technical skill development within junior football through a coaching methodology. That infrastructure's there now. You know, every team that's part of the youth league has got a manager that invariably has had a qualification at least level one, moving through the structure, getting higher quality qualifications as they progress with their teams, and the game moves from 5v5 through 7v7 to 9v9, ultimately 11-a-side game where it's full-size pitches, etc. And I do think that, you know, as an under-10 playing in an under-12 league in 1978, playing on a full-size pitch with goals that are 24-foot wide by 8-foot high, with goalkeepers who are 2 foot high, doesn't make a lot of sense. I think the game is growing the player, and it's and you know, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, it really had to take that direction, didn't it? Because I can remember at school myself, and I was always a tall lad, and then you'd look up at the crossbar and it seemed to be miles away. So I mean, it's basically the team with the lad who could kick the ball hardest, they were going to win, weren't they?
Correct. And I think the approach that we've got now through small sided game is a clear attempt to try and get a level playing field and just bring those 36-0 results down, which is my era of football at a junior, playing in the Newark Youth League with Cliftwell United originally, and then Swindon latterly. It didn't benefit me, it didn't benefit our club, and it certainly didn't benefit the likes of Elston when they were on the receiving end of 36-0.
Excellent, Mick.
Okay, well, football's all about scoring goals, isn't it? And, you know, if you've got a decent goal scorer in your team, you're going to do well. And I've got a couple of lads here with me tonight, and they've both got trophies in their hand for top goal scorer. So we're going to find out who they are and what club they play for. So, young man, neat hairstyle there, spot on there, but you don't head the ball very often. No, not a hairstyle like that. What's your name and who do you play for?
Joshua Buchan and Navenby Wolves.
So you're a Navenby player. And how long have you played in the new Newark Youth League?
2 years.
2 years. And this year you're top scorer then. So top scorer in what age group?
Under-13s.
Under-13s. And so the big question is, how many?
31.
31 goals. And can you remember them all? You see, a goal scorer normally remembers his goals. So I'll take it you're a centre-forward then, are you? But you like play centre-forward the best?
Kind of like play centre-mid.
Centre mid. 31 goals from midfield. That's not bad going. two important questions. Who's your favourite football team? Don't say Man United, please.
Chelsea.
Okay, I can live with Chelsea. Is this all these others that say Manchester United?
No, I don't mind.
Good lad. You're not going to say Man United, are you? No, you're right. You're okay. Good. So you're playing for Navy, mate? You're playing for Navy again next year?
No, the manager has to, take his son to rugby matches so he can't play.
So this is the last season for Navan Bay?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do next time round?
I'll play for Sunday, so I'll just play on Sunday, Navan Bay.
Well, the best of luck to you. Keep on knocking them goals in. And when you get signed up for Lincoln City or somebody, say, I remember the night I was on Radio Newark. Good lad, mate. Well done. Well done. And alongside of you, we've got...
Louis Hatton.
And you play for?
Collingham Cougars.
Collingham Cougars. Who's your manager?
Jam and Adam.
Right. And the obvious question then? You got the trophy? How many goals?
61.
61 in one season? You're going to be a superstar, you are, aren't you? Can you remember all 61?
No.
Can you remember your favourite?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
When I scored a free kick.
Oh. Direct free kick?
Yeah.
So you're not one of these that just hang about in front of goal then? You can do it. Who else do you play for? Do you play for school or do you play for anybody else?
I play for school, Will Robb.
And your school is?
Will Robb.
Will Robb, so excellent. So centre forward, do you want to be a footballer when you grow up? Do you want to go all the way and be a professional?
Yeah.
Is that that's the goal, is it?
Yeah.
And what's your favourite team?
Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest.
Nottingham Forest, see, you're my new favourite, you are. You know, good stuff. Collingham again, if you're Collingham lad, you've got to play for Collingham, haven't you?
Yeah.
So it's Collingham again next year?
Yeah.
At what age group will that be?
Under 13s.
Look, the best of luck to you. 61 goals in a season is a fantastic achievement. Well done, excellent. Enjoy that trophy. 61 goals in a season. I scored two in a career. 61 in a season. Go on, you tell me now, you scored more than 61 in a season.
You scored two in 61 years.
I scored two in 61 years, yeah. I got the other way around. He's going back for another trophy now. I think Collingham's found a bit of a gem there. Andrew, before the boys come up, we'd started to get a little bit serious about our football. The management of football, if you like, has changed. And I'll get Elaine Oram on this one as well. It's gone away from win at all costs to try and coach. I've got both the grandchildren play rugby, and they're 12 and 10. And they haven't got a clue who's won the game at the end of it. But if I talk to them about what they did to improve themselves, then I can have a conversation with them. If I say to them, what was the final score, they wouldn't know. Can it go too far away from what is effectively non-competitive? Or has there got to be and should there be a winner?
That's a difficult question to answer, really, because the nature of sport is by its very nature competitive. And it's not a bad thing. Life's competitive. And you know, the sports field can help young people develop some life skills. It's not just about winning, though. It's about losing graciously. And, yeah, really doing your bit, doing the best that you can. And in some extent, the result is academic, as long as you continue with the sport and you still play, you enjoy. Because it's not just about physical benefit of sport, it's the social aspects which, in my opinion, far outweigh the pure physical benefit of the game. I've got mates that, you know, I've grown up with through sport, and our bond is sport. That's the glue that ties my friendships together. And so, you know, I look at it as something a bit bigger than just physical activity. But yeah, winning, everybody likes to win. But gracious losing is equally important, and you can't be a winner all the time. That's the key message.
You have to learn to win, but you also have to learn to lose, don't you?
Absolutely.
I'm going walkabout, because I've just I've seen a couple of ladies, because it's all right, we talk about us a lot all the time, isn't it? We leave the ladies at home all the time, don't we? So I'm just going to hijack a couple of ladies. So just bear with me while I go walkabout, because we are live here on Radio Newark at the Cedric Ford Pavilion. And as I've said, it's all right for the for the boys. They're out there playing football and the men are out there watching football. And of course, the ladies are left at home. Well, one of them I'm going to talk to is not really at home very often. She's always in the bar. I've got a couple of young ladies with me tonight who I would call footballing widows. And in one case, it's about to change. Sandra Cobb, good evening. You're going to see a lot more of Glenn.
More decorating.
You realise you'll take up something else if that's the case.
We'll just keep refereeing instead.
It's been a big decision for Glenn, hasn't it? I mean, he's agonised over this for 2 years. He's had the strength of mind to make his mind up and say, I am going, but it's not been easy, has it?
No. He wanted to stay there while Ted was there. It was a very hard decision to make, and I know he's going to miss it a lot.
There was, obviously, I mean, somebody alluding to the times when it didn't look like anybody was going to take over and would probably lose it. And obviously, the last thing he wanted to be was the chairman that ended the new Youth League. And it hasn't happened like that. And he can walk away now with his head held high, can't he?
He can do. Yes, he's very pleased with where everything's gone. And the fact that the children can still play football. That was what was worrying him, that the kids wouldn't have anywhere to play. Now everything's gone straight forward and these boys will still carry on and play.
Well, he's got a smile on his face again and that's the main thing, and he's actually looking like he's enjoying it.
He loves it. And it's nice all the old committee members are here too as well.
So. The other young lady I've got with me are actually sort of probably loves football more than her son and her husband does, because she's always been a big Forest fan. She's always been on the radio times many, so we're only on till 9 o'clock, so I might not get another word in edgeways now between now and the end, now and 9 o'clock, but we'll give it a go. Becky Mersh is here. Becky, you're not really a football widow, are you? You see more football than most men.
I do. I see a lot. I've got my husband, who's obviously a coach. He's a Forest coach on a Monday night at the Development Centre at Grantham. Obviously, he loves it. He doesn't run his own team now, but he does love it. And then obviously, I've got my son, Brandon, who is a referee for the Newark League, NYL. Refs, obviously, on a Sunday at Forest Academy as well. So he's doing really well.
It's on my list of people to get into the radio station, but so far I've drawn a big blank with number one son. But we never give up, do we? We keep trying. When he does come in, eventually. The question for you: what's it like of a mother standing on the touchline when son, the referee, is getting stick that he doesn't deserve, or does deserve, but getting stick? I know you personally. And if you stand there and take it and say nothing, I'll be absolutely amazed. But what is it like?
Okay, so a couple of matches I have opened my mouth, but obviously I'm a big believer in the respect campaign. And I do keep shut. I know it's hard to believe, but yes, I do keep my mouth shut. Respect is obviously a big thing. And I just look at the grandparents and the parents match when the referee comes over to me, and I say, hey, well done. Really good job there. And they just, they just look at me, and some of them do come over and shake his hand and said, well done, ref. And I'll say, but excuse me, for the last 60 odd minutes, you've just been calling him. But, it is hard.
You bite your tongue. And what we had his great friend in the studio the other week. We've got two cracking young lads who I'm told can go an awful long way in this game. And I think now the abuse that they suffered 10, 15 years ago, that's not there anymore. And they're looked after a lot better from the referee society as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Brandon's got a really good mentor at Forest Academy. Daryl is great. The referee society as well, they all pull together. And it's really, really, really good as well. So, yeah, they do get supported. The young lad that you're talking about is Sam Long, good friend of Brandon's. And they both went to Holland to ref over there as well for the Forest Development. So did really well. Really good feedback.
Good stuff. And husband's actually doing the raffle. Becky's sitting... This is what I would expect. Becky's sitting here drinking. And husband is busy on the raffle. John, Becky's just... We're talking sort of footballing widows, but she's not really, is it? Because she loves the football. Probably loves Forest more than loves you, really. But you're at Forest. Lots of changes at Forest. New owners. Does that come down to the level that you work at, or is it almost a completely different setup?
I think it's a bit early to tell. I think maybe next year we'll probably find out a little bit more because it'll have a knock-on effect. With them coming in, it'll be too early for next season. Listen, at the end of the day, with the development side, I really, really enjoy it because we take lads away from grassroots, put them into a development centre with lads with the same ability, but they still go back to their grassroots. And it's great to watch these kids come through and get better and better as the years go on. I'm out nearly every weekend watching football locally around Newark. I won't miss it for the world. The coaching side of it, I won't miss it either. But I have to say that what we do at Forest is amazing to watch these kids come through the ranks. Some go over to the academy, they play games two or three times in the year, different kids. That's great to see, the smile on their faces. And when they come away and at the end of the season, we're still coaching at the minute, we don't finish till the end of June, but I love it. For me, I could go all year round. Much to
Becky's discourse, yeah. John, the big criticism in the past about professional clubs is that they will take when they want and disregard at will. One Monday you're a superstar going to school in your Forest top, if you wish, and then 3 months later that Forest top's been taken off and you don't want to know you anymore. Has that mellowed a little bit?
Because they're a lot more selective now. We know what they want, we know what they're looking for, which is why they send us out there looking. We try and look for the younger the age, the more chance of them getting in. The older they get, then it's going to be that little bit more difficult.
And it is difficult, isn't it? Because in this day and age, when the top boys are quite happy to spend £4 or 5 million on some foreigner we've never heard of, that knock-on effect doesn't give the youngsters the chance to come through. Chelsea's got, 30-something? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Man City's just as bad. At the end of the day, the kids that are in the academy are there. They're a vehicle for the first team because they need a team to play. They need to sort of release the lads. But they get smaller and smaller as they get older. And they are just a vehicle for the first team to keep those lads playing. And it's a horrible business to be in at the top end, you know, of those lads that are competing. It's something like 0.68 whatever percent that actually make it from the academy to play with the first team. Now, Forest, this year, over the last couple of years, have topped the charts with the youngsters going into the first team. Well, Fowler has to thank for that because of what he did to the club. That's probably not going to happen again for a long time with the kids coming through. But look, I don't do this to get kids at Forest. I do this to get kids at the development centre to give them the extra training. If they're good enough and get to the top of their top of that age group where they need to be in the top three, then yeah, they'll get a chance, just like anyone else within there. But it's all about the coaches. It's about making them a better player. That side of it is, you know, it will go where it needs to go if they're good enough.
I'm hearing tonight, John, as I spoke to Andy Hardy, as I spoke to yourself, as I spoke to Becky about the referees, there's a definite shift change of how we look after our footballing youngsters anymore. It's not just kick it out, it doesn't matter as long as we're winning. Kick the thing into the next field. Yeah. Those days, thankfully, seem to have gone. And what you're telling me and what Andrew's telling me, we've got a bright future. And all this, I'm hearing at St. George's, that all the team, although if you can't beat 10 men, then that's another story, but the under-20s won a World Cup. Football itself, I think it's been in the doldrums, apart from the Premier Division, which is a business on its own. Football itself at grassroots level has been in the doldrums. I think we're probably coming out of it.
I think you're right. I think since the introduction of the FA Youth Awards, where they've combined the normal, the old level ones and the level twos, so that they run alongside the youth system, it's been amazing to see it come through. We've got rid of the coaches that are unfortunately there's still a couple out there, but we've got rid of all them coaches that shout shoot, or you should have passed, or you should have done that. But it's great to see, I have to say. There's also with certain clubs that have development centres, a lot of them, they do invite local grassroots clubs to come down on bulk with their coaches to come in and have a look to see what they're doing. It's not just us, we do it as well, but I know Notts County are doing it, I know the likes of City, United are doing it. They're all doing it, and it's all about getting the kids to play better football. So if they can take something from an older age group and put it into youngsters, then it's a win-win.
It took a long time for the penny to drop, Andy, but I think it sounds like it's finally dropped.
Yeah, it has.
Good stuff, John Mersch. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on Radio Newark tonight. We're live at the Cedric Ford Pavilion, the last ever new Newark Youth League presentation evening, and I've been walkabout. I enjoy going walkabout. Suddenly they look up and I'm not there anymore. But that's what it's all about. Tony, we've been talking to Sandra Cobb. She's going to see a bit more. Glenn apparently is going to do some decorating. Not sure Glenn knows he's going to do some decorating.
Should have warned him.
But Glenn is going to do some decorating. And of course there's Becky Mersch, and of course you've got Brandon and Sam Long, the young referee that came in, and the two young referees in a long conversation. I don't know if he was listening on the headphones to John Mersch, and he was saying that the days of professional clubs taking them, using them and dumping them, which, as you know my opinion on all that, seems to have gone, thankfully. Well, you know, hero at schools are hard places, aren't they? You know, and if you're going in there on a Monday morning with your Forest tracksuit on, and look at me, you know, aren't I the lad, and 3 months later that tracksuit's gone back in the post, it's a very hard life if you're 10 years old.
It's an unforgiving place to be, isn't it?
It really is, and, you know, and we moved on, thankfully we're moving on from that.
Well, that's got to be good, because, I mean, I heard a stat many, many years ago that out of every 400 players to play for England schoolboys, only one makes it. And that is a fantastic
stat. I think you pointed out, didn't you, the other night when England under-20s won the World Cup.
Yeah, that's
in 5
yeah.
years' time, how many of those under-20s are we going to actually see playing football at the top level?
I would be very amazed if any of them. And that's the saddest thing of all, because clubs these days in the Premier League level, or at the Premier League level, they just reach for the checkbooks, and there is so much money in football that they don't give a damn about the youth players coming through.
And talking of football, a bit of a plug for a show next Tuesday night. A bit of a coup, really. We've got David Coote coming in. Missing.
You're
away again. I don't know. Is it 12-week umpiring course at Trent Bridge? Now he's got to go on a 2-week out-of-count course, so next time there's a tie, it won't be a tie.
I'll give you a clue of where I'm going.
No, I'll think about it. In my world, you're going on an accounting course. So when he comes back, he may be off to count. David Coote's coming in. David, of course, as you know, Newark referee. Mm. I remember Coote. You remember Coote as a linesman for Wheatsheaf.
I remember him at Bishop's Drive as a 12-year-old. And when he was running the line, there was no way the opposition were going to abuse him, because Uncle Mick and Dad Dave were right behind him.
Well, I was talking to him on Saturday at the cricket. He's playing a bit of cricket for Collingham.
Oh, yeah. And, he always has done, yeah.
And he was telling me about the time he sent Masgey off, Kevin Smith, on Bolton playing field.
That was a very brave move.
That's what he said. He says, it's the only time I've sent a player off and took 3 steps backwards, because I knew the abuse that was going to come.
And obviously he survived.
Well, Maskey told him, Maskey's fault, it was his fault for getting it wrong. And surprise, 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 we did have a mention of the penalty and didn't get to Matt Ritchie at St James Park as well.
I thought you might have a word.
He did tell me Matt Ritchie died, but no, that sounds a little bit harsh to me. We're live, we're here at the Cedric Ford Pavilion, the new Newark Youth League final presentation evening. And even more exciting, we're on for a second hour. I don't know how I've managed to wangle it, but we are on for 2 hours. But don't despair, Doug Hall fans. He's still on for 2 hours as Radio Newark, for the second week running, goes well into the night. Come back and join us in a few minutes for some more stars. The raffles continuing unabated there. Ted's in fine form, but we're joined in the Radio Newark temporary studio here by the vice chairman of Newark Town Football Club, Chris Wade. Chris, welcome back to Radio Newark.
Good evening, mate. Thank you very much.
Let's talk Newark Town, if we can, or from sort of grassroots, under whatever, right through. How's life looking for the Blues?
I think we're in pretty good shape. We've got teams from under 8s all the way through to under 18s. We've got the usual problem of what happens at that awkward transition between under 18s, senior element of the junior section, or and the transition to male adult football. But the group of managers that we've got are working really well together. We had a very successful tournament at the weekend, two-day tournament this year. Some teams travelled from far side of Nottingham and Doncaster to come and join us. So I'm really pleased. It's all in good shape, and looking forward to starting the next season.
You support the New Newark Youth League, and you also have teams playing out of Newark.
Yeah, we've always supported the Newark Youth League. Obviously, that changes next season as we're going to move to the Young Elizabethan League. And then at the older age groups, we compete in the Notts Youth League from under 15s onwards, upwards, I should say. So, yeah, it's a bit of a transition for us all in Newark. A bit of a leap of faith, because we don't know quite what we're joining. But my impression of it is a very well-organised league. They have paid officials, which means it's very well-organised and responds quickly to all your problems. But, I say, it's a bit of a leap of faith, because parents keep asking us, which league are we going to be in? Who are we going to be playing against? Well, we don't know yet. We'll find out on Monday at the AGM. But I'm pretty confident that we'll be getting good competitive football and playing at the right level. I think the problem with a small league like Newark, the Newark League, is you could easily get a non-competitive game. You could win a game 20-0, which is ridiculous. No one benefits from that. But I think joining a bigger league, you'll get a more appropriate game, a better standard that fits you, whether you're a good team or a developing team.
The theme of the first hour of this show is how youth football is changing its outlook from the young referee's point of view, that we look after a lot better than we ever used to, to the 22 managers around the pitch all wanting their one player to be the superstar, and it doesn't matter if the ball gets kicked into the next garden as long as they win. That, thankfully, now seems to be leaving our thoughts on our football as youngsters should be running. We're trying to make the youngsters better players. Now, I know you watch football right through to the top level because you're a big England fan. And what's happening at St George's Park? Well, it's...
My Forest needs to get older. I thought you were going to say that as well.
What's happening at St George's Park and the way they're trying to get everybody to learn together?
Yeah.
Is this having a knock-on effect, even at grassroots level?
It is, but it's slow. There's been comments already tonight about whether this non-competitive idea really works. I think it'll only really work when the boys that are here, that are playing it, become adults. And it's their sons and them playing it. Then they'll get it. Because you've still got parents on the side of the pitch who scream and shout, and their seven-year-old must win a game. It's not about winning for me. And that's the thing we're changing at Newark Town, at least. It's not about winning. It's not about filling your trophy cabinet. Are you a better player now than you were at the start of the season?
It's the one I go back to with the grandchildren playing rugby. Mm. They don't know. They haven't got a clue what the score was at the end. But they do know that the referee or the coach has told them they've done this and they've improved that. Yeah. Is that probably taking it too far? No, I don't know.
It shouldn't be, but it's a slow process. It's a slow process. Okay, we've got to get away from it's win at all costs. For me, that's an awful strategy, if that is genuinely your strategy.
Can we take it up to the adults then? Up until Christmas, Newark Town was on a roll, and we was all getting excited in the studio that this was going to be the season. That was going to go for the championship. And then the wheels came off.
Yeah, I mean, we did apply. We applied for promotion. We put all the paperwork in. So we were certainly ambitious enough to try. Yeah, you're right. From January onwards, it was probably that Billsthorpe game that got called off with 6 minutes to go. Yeah. We're winning 4-0. That seemed to knock us. And from then onwards, we drew games that we probably should have won. And then we lost all the momentum through to the end of the season.
Tony's stopping on, but he's got a new right-hand man.
Yes. Nicky Anderson. I don't know him personally, but I know they worked together at Harrowby last season, so I think they're a good team. And it's all about putting a squad together and getting a reliable, as you know, that old word that haunts us, commitment. We need a committed squad of 16, 18 players that will see us through.
Yeah, and this is the what comes back every time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really does. The under 21s, of course, under 18s, under 21s, have been a big stepping stone in the big plus, and a new under 21s manager, the unique talent that is Mr. Stephen Chappell.
That's right, Dewey. Yeah, he came across with his under 18s last year from RHP. Had a very successful season. Was runners up in the Notts Youth League. So yes, he's moving up to the under 21s. We're carrying on in the Lynx under 21s development league, which is a good standard. You get to play at Lincoln City and Gainsborough and Boston United, so you get to play on some good pitches. So it should be something that the lads should be wanting to do, to play on those sort of grounds.
Good stuff. Chris, thank you so much for
no problem.
Taking time out to join us
thank
tonight.
You
I know you're right. with your Newark Town lads.
Yes.
We've got a trophy to come?
Yep, with the Under 8 Sportsmanship Award. So we'll be collecting that hopefully very soon.
Excellent. Well, we'll try and grab a word with him in our second hour. But for now, Chris, thank you so much for taking time out to join us. Chris Wade, the Vice Chairman of Newark Town Football Club. All the stars are here tonight, Tony, and me and you. I've said earlier on, we are going on uniquely into a second hour. Doug Hall fans, don't worry. The sound of the 60s will be here, but it's going to be at 9 o'clock tonight when you hear the dulcet tones of Doug with his fantastic knowledge of the 1960s music.
We love Newark and we love Lincolnshire.